Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Reporting from West Vancouver, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. In October of 2024, the Lower Mainland experienced an atmospheric river. A long, narrow section in the atmosphere that transports water vapor outside of the tropics. The severity of this atmospheric river resulted in significant precipitation levels, infrastructure damage from flooding, and, according to findings from the West Vancouver Streamkeeper Society, historically high counts for local salmon populations. On February 24th, 2025, the organization presented findings from their yearly salmon count at West Vancouver City Council, where they stated that the atmospheric river event in October had actually proven to be a benefit for local salmon populations. To learn more about these findings, CJSF met with Leslie Pomeroy, a lead volunteer for the West Vancouver Streamkeeper Society, who is also responsible for the organization's student volunteer programs. We spoke at Brothers Creek in West Vancouver, where these high salmon counts were first observed.
It was really interesting. So I don't know if you remember, but the atmospheric river happened on voting day. And I was out helping with a campaign, and I was with somebody who's actually an MP in West Vancouver, and she was getting all these texts of floods, massive floods. I can't remember exactly, but I think it was down 21st and 25th. There were just rivers. And then Marine Drive was underwater. A bunch of businesses were damaged. And I had a survey. My team was supposed to go out on the Sunday. And the girls were wondering if we should cancel. And I said, no, we're not canceling. This is an amazing opportunity to see the effects, the firsthand effects of climate change on our creeks. So I was basically preparing it to be a lesson in, the devastation of climate change. I sort of prefaced it with, we're not going to see any fish, but we can see what has happened to the creeks as a result of the really extraordinarily high water levels. And sure enough, we did see a lot of, there was a bit of erosion, not a ton, but just, the water had to find new channels down the creek and things like that. And we did we have five zones, and we got to here. This was our final zone, and we actually saw three chum in the creek. And the water was still running incredibly fast. I don't know how they stayed in the creek or if they somehow got back up the following day. But it was, we'd had quite a few fish prior to then. The fish numbers dropped dramatically after the atmospheric river, but within, a week, they were way high. So I would say that the main benefit for salmon was just the high water levels. It makes it so much easier to move up the creek. And we've had, as you know, we've had several years of drought for Vancouver. When the water levels are high, you can see over here where you've got lots of rock. If you don't have a lot of water, they simply can't move up the creek.
Pomeroy also spoke about the initial surprise that came from the salmon count due to the negative human effects of the atmospheric river.
Because we view the atmospheric river from a very human point of view, which is like, oh, there's so much water, it's going to be hard to get up the creek. But it, in fact, is a completely different experience for the salmon. I think we were also really surprised because the chum predictions were extremely low. Like, they thought we were going to have a very bad year for chum. And we ended up having a huge year. And within the first week we saw fish, second week we only saw three, but then the next week people just started reporting massive numbers of fish in the creeks. So yes, it was surprising. What was also surprising was that human devastation aside, it proved to be a wonderful refresh for the creek because we've had so many years of relatively low water flow, so you don't get a lot of redistribution of gravel. Erosion is actually kind of good for the creeks because it gets gravel in to the creeks, and that's the ideal spawning material for the salmon. Yeah, and that was unanticipated by us, but of course, in retrospect, makes perfect sense.
Lastly, Leslie Pomeroy talked about what people should do if they want to become more involved with their local creeks and ecosystems.
What I love about the streams is they give you an insight to one aspect of the environment, but one that affects everything around it and is affected by everything around it. So, yeah, if we have healthy streams, it's likely to be reflective of a healthier environment, which I'm sure even if human beings don't care about salmon and don't care about streams, they probably care about, you know, the health of their own environment. Yeah, that's another thing. And West Vancouver Streamkeepers is a great organization. We have a website that I would encourage anybody who's interested in going and having a look at, but also look into streamkeeping organizations in your own neighborhoods. Always looking for volunteers. I'm pretty certain all of them are always looking for volunteers. And yeah, there's lots of opportunity to get out and get in the creeks and enjoy nature.
Once again, that was Leslie Pomeroy of the West Vancouver Streamkeepers Society. You can learn more about the West Vancouver Streamkeepers Society on westvancouverstreamkeepers.ca. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. This piece would not be possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
You are tuned to CISAK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CISAK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CISAK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CISAK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CISAK News, in the early spring on the Nass River, ulikan are running. This little oily fish, which is known as the candlefish, is also known as a life-saving fish because it was the first fresh food to arrive in the river after a long winter and has caused for much excitement in the Nass Valley. Camps are set up along the river as a base so Nisga harvesters can set nets in the middle of the river and smoke and cook the ulikan, which renders its oils. Not long ago, that oil was more valuable than gold. Nicole Morvan is the Harvest Monitor Coordinator for the Directorate of the Nisga Fisheries and Wildlife. CISAK News had a chance to catch up with Nicole in the Nass Valley as crews prepare to process the thousands of ulikan caught this season so far. As the run comes to an end, Nisga members, young and old, gather at the camps to process the ulikan and prepare for a plentiful harvest.
Nicole Morvan from Nisga Fisheries and Wildlife in the Nass Valley. I've been working on the ulikan project for the past 16, 17 years here in the Nass Valley. Our Nisga Fish and Wildlife program is a stock assessment program, so part of that is doing the ulikan project. So we work with, we have seven camps down there, but currently there's only four camps open right now. So I work with those camps that are there to collect our data. I also get to watch the process on how everything's done as I sit and wait for, you know, biosamples. So biosamples are me getting out and taking the ulikan and taking them back and processing, doing sexing them, lengthening them, taking otoliths. And then also getting to watch the full process of not just like the fishery, but the grease making of the ulikan fishery. So, yeah, and right now we're at the point where all of the bins are full. So once the bins are full, they have to wait at least 9 to 10 days, depending on the weather. Sometimes it's shorter, sometimes it's longer. And then once the ulikans are ready to cook, that process is probably like an 18-hour process, something like that. It's like over a two-day period pretty much. It's just getting the bins ready at the same time as waiting for them to be ready for cook. So right now I'm going to head down there tonight. They start the grease cooking, so I'll have a little bit of video about that and see how that goes.
Amazing, Nicole. That sounds super cool. As you remember, you know, I was up there a couple of years ago, so I got a firsthand experience watching the ulikan being harvested. Maybe you can tell us, one, a little bit about the Nass River and then also about ulikan. What is ulikan, and when do we usually see ulikan come up the river? So tell me a little bit about the Nass first, and where do you see these ulikan coming in?
They come in just... you go towards King Colas, so I don't know if anybody knows where the Nass is. We're about 100 kilometers north of Terrace, BC. So you'll drive about 1.5 hours to get there, and you'll see the signs along the side of the road. It's called the Otset, they call it Fishery Bay. You'll see the sign there on the left, I believe, when you're coming down the hill. So that's in between Lakkalgap and Gingolf. And then the Ulakan itself, the only way I could really describe it is like smelt. I've never tasted smelts myself, but a lot of people are like, when I tell them it's like smelt, and they seem to know what smelts are. We call them our savior fish. So when our winter stock is like dwindling down, and then we turn to the Ulakan harvest, which happens in March. So pretty much the whole month of March, our crews are down there for that whole month harvesting and preparing. So then we're prepared for the next winter and only taking what we need. And yeah.
I also noticed this year that the crescent moon was pointed upwards.
Yes.
What does it mean for the Niska if the crescent moon is pointing upwards, the spoon, as it were?
They want to see that point of the moon like that. We call it Hovie. We celebrate that. So that tells us whether or not we're going to have a good harvest. And this year was a good harvest, but only 4 out of the 7 fish this year. So we'll see. Yeah, we got what we needed, basically.
That's great. Nicole, maybe tell me more about, you know, the run itself. There's a Ulakan run on the Nass. There's also one on the Skeena, but the Nass one seems to be very strong. You know, there's a number of people harvesting it, and you mentioned they're going to be cooking tonight. So, you know, tell me a little about the strength of the run, and also what is going to be, why do you cook the Ulakan down? What are they trying to render once they cook it all down?
I believe the strength of the run is from our own people helping our Nisga Fisheries Program monitor the fishery. So basically we're collecting data every year that they're harvesting. So I have developed this good relationship with these camps that are in there. Like we have different camps, 4 camps. So I have one person per camp that will do the data with me. So I'll leave a log there for them, and then we'll go over that, you know, during the season, end of the season, then the following year we'll look back at our data. But we've also had, in the last couple of years, had some help with Mother Nature, because the last couple of years prior to this year, we didn't get the abundance that we normally do for like a good feed because of the ice barrier that we had to endure during that time, which kind of helps, you know, the run go by and do its thing. So it's kind of a blessing for us, and people comprehend that. And so we now know that we have to really, you know, savor what we have, save the grease that we have, save the Ulakan that we have, like the fresh frozen, smoked salmon, sun-dried. Like we do jarred salmon, canned salmon in the summer. So that's jarred sockeye mostly. And in the wintertime, that is going to be used for our winter supply on top of using the grease. So the grease from the Ulakan will be drizzled over like a jar of salmon. Then you'd have like some basmati rice and a little bit of seaweed in there. You drizzle the grease in there, and that kind of helps your, especially during the winter, it helps protect your immune system. So we use that. We also use it when we're doing feasts. We have some ladies that would bring, you know, the berry picking that happens in the summer, that's frozen, and it's used during the winter, like when we have feasts, and some of the berries that they serve with the soups, they drizzle some of the grease in there as well. It just kind of helps to settle the stomach after eating the moose, because so sometimes it's a little bit greasy depending on the catch. Yeah, there's a bunch of things. Some of the elders, they go to, for breakfast, they have it with their toast, so they'll drizzle some grease on their toast, and it's mostly just to help flush out your immune system, to protect your immune system. And we also use it on, so not only do we do jarred salmon, we do dried salmon, so those are what we call gayuk. So also in the winter, that's some of our go-to, where we like pull out a bag of guyuks and we're sitting around chit-chatting, and we'll have the guyuks with some potato chips, and then we also have a bowl of grease there where we take turns dipping our guyuks into. It's delicious. You'll have to try it.
Yeah, I've tried it on bread before, and it definitely is an acquired taste.
Yes.
but of course, you know, if you're growing up eating this, this is a delicacy.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, when we were up at Hobie, and I've been to other, you know, events as well, there are people who, you know, have jars, and it's coveted, you know, giving a jar of Ulican grease to someone. I know some people just, they couldn't get anything better in the world.
Yes, for sure. Especially the elders. They really love it.
Nicole, just the last thing for you. You know, this is kind of getting towards the end of the season here for the Ulican. And of course, as things start to warm up, we'll start to see, you know, springs come up the river. What do you always look forward to around this time of year, around Ulican season? And what do you got planned for the rest of the year?
Ulican season is my favorite time of the year. Not only that I'm out in the field, I get to visit with these different camps, but I also get to know who they are, where they come from, their families especially, because they're super proud of their families. They're super proud of taking care of our people, because not only are they just filling the bins to, you know, get their grease and share their grease, they're also like food fishing for our community. So each community will get a feed from that fishery. So it's a whole cool process that I'm just super proud to be a part of, to witness and just to see them, you know, helping each other out, also helping our urban locals as well. Once I wind down from this, I do non-salmon all year round. So non-salmon is crab and a halibut fishery. We just did a crab study 2 weeks prior, or a week prior to this Ulican fishery this year. On top of that, I monitor the halibut and crab fishery, so I also get to know the majority of the fishers that come into King Cole, not just the locals, but we get people from Smithers, Kitimat, people from Alberta that come up for halibut and crab fishing. And then we move into the salmon catch program, which will begin in May, and then that runs until September. But in between that, we also have a juvenile coho fence that we run from May to June. That's just below the lava beds here. And then after the salmon catch fishery, we also run the adult coho weir from like September to November, depending on the weather. And at the same time as that's going on, we have the wildlife program that's going on, which is the moose hunt. Yeah, that's pretty much my year. So I'm like busy all year round, then downtime in the winter we're doing reports and stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. It sounds like a busy time, but also as you're saying that, I'm getting excited because I know that spring and summer is just around the corner.
Yes, yeah, for sure. It should be good. It'll be fun.
Well, Nicole, that's all I had for you. Thanks so much for giving us the time and your insight, and good luck with the rest of the Ulican harvest and the rest of your season.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for your time.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists. I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.
About CICK, visit us at smithersradio.com. Yeah, .com.
Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. My name is Jesse. I was not here for the first hour while I was in the other studio recording an interview with Delta Mayor George Harvey, the last in our series of interviews with Greater Vancouver area mayors in the lead up to next Monday's federal election. Today, April 22nd, is Earth Day. And something that happens on Earth Day is the Wetland Project's Slow Radio broadcast. There's some other stations around that are just playing the sound of the wetlands on Saturna Island all day. I'm going to give you a little bit of that here. It's nice, isn't it? I'm going to leave you with this for a little bit. And then when I come back, we'll have more election coverage. It's a nice break to just sort of hang out in a wetland and listen to the birds and frogs and just the sound of things happening. So enjoy for now.